Bill Harley, I have to admit to you that I have not listened to your song, 50 Ways to Fool Your Mother, at the request of my six-year-old daughter, because she says that if I listen to it, she's not going to be able to get away with anything.
Yeah, I've had that response. Kids have come up to me at concerts and said, hey, are you going to do that 50 Ways to Fool Your Mother? And I said, well, yeah. And they said, no, don't do it because she's in the audience and then it just won't work. So I've heard that before.
Bill Harley is a singer of songs and a teller of stories for children, although there are quite a few parents who admit to liking his style. He has several albums to his credit, Cool in School, Dinosaurs Never Say Please, and 50 Ways to Fool Your Mother. On the title song of that album, he uses this percussive rhythm. It's called Juba, and it comes from the Georgia Sea Islands. He creates it by clapping his hands and slapping his knees. Juba is only one of the many folk traditions that inspire Bill Harley.
Most of the people who are doing kids' music today, and there's a lot more than there were, say, 10 years ago, owe some debt to Pete Seeger and Ella Mae Jenkins and Burl Ives. And the folk songs are pretty simple and straightforward and singable, have strong melodies, and kids are drawn to strong melodies and strong rhythms, and I suppose that's one reason that folk music is there, and also because these people who had used folk music in their own work, did work with kids in the 40s and 50s. And I think that's had a strong influence on all of us who are doing kids' music today.
You are a parent.
Yes, I am. I've got two kids. One's 4 and a half. He's quick to remind me that it's a half. And one's one.
Oh. Has becoming a parent kind of influenced the kind of songs that you've been doing, given you more to work with now?
Well, I would say that as far as work that kids can definitely relate to, my older son, Noah, is just getting to a point where he's material for me, the poor kid. You know, he doesn't hate it yet. I'm sure that at some point he will be sorry he's my son.
Do you think of yourself as kind of a bridge between the child world and the adult world? After all, children have a whole set of problems in their lives that mm-hmm. have nothing to do with their parents. The parents aren't there when they're at school.
Right, right. And I think as I've done more and more work, I've seen how important it is that I address those issues that kids get into. When I first started, I worked mostly with adults, and I kind of did the kids' stuff on the side, and it kind of began to take over, and I've been trying to deal with all that. But as I've done the work, I've seen how important it is for a couple reasons. First of all, I think that it's crucially important that an adult recognizes that there's problems that kids have that adults don't have. They just need to know that, yeah, we understand that's out there. Second of all, even if the situation can't change, I think the basic experience, one of the basic experiences of childhood is being powerless to change your own situation. And while some things just are not going to change, some situations, the family or where you're going to school, I think just the recognition of that fact that this is here and this really stinks. Like, I've got a song about a girl whose parents tell her not to come to a party. She can't come downstairs to the party. And so she sneaks downstairs and she hides under the table and they call the police and they eventually discover her and she gets into big trouble for it. And the situation doesn't change. Her parents still don't want her to come to the party, but just the recognition by myself of the fact that, yeah, this situation is here and it's not fair, I think is important for kids and parents too.
That song is called Having a Party.
Right.
Do you want to do a little bit of it?
I guess I could do that. They were having a party, having a dance, having a social affair. Her mom and her dad said they'd have a good time, but they didn't want any kids there. We really do love you, it's not that we don't, it's just you're a little too young. So you go upstairs now, you go to sleep when you get older, you can come, she said. They're having a party in my own house, telling me I can't come. I think I'm gonna invite myself, even though I'm a little too young. So that's the first verse there. It gives you a little hint of what's to come.
Mm. She discovers all the yucky food the adults get to eat at the party.
Right, right. The mushroom stuff with Ookie Brown stuff and sees from a unique position. It's kind of, I think it's also important for me in my work that I try to give a common language for kids and adults to use. A lot of times kids and adults will get in a situation where they're at each other's throat. And if I have a song or a story that they can refer back to and say, oh yeah, this guy went through this situation too, or somebody else has been there before, it'll help them take a step away from the situation and kind of diffuse it. So that's one of the things I feel is real important about my work.
What do you think you're going to be doing 30 years from now? You think you're still going to be singing Monsters in the Bathroom?
Sometimes I have that nightmare. I expect that I will. I don't expect that I'll be doing it quite as much as I do. I've been doing about 200, 250 shows a year for the last 3 or 4 years, and I don't want to do that many shows for the rest of my life. But I think that I'll always be involved somehow with singing and storytelling and with both adults and kids. And I can kind of see 3 or 4 years ahead, but 30, you know, it's hard to know.
Mm. You're working on some new songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, one with a very interesting title, Dad Threw the TV Out the Window.
Yeah, that was actually a friend of mine, Michael Perrin, who's a storyteller, lives in Virginia, did that. And we were talking about it, and he told me he did it. And a songwriter always looks for a line. That's usually songs with a line. And I'm real interested and concerned about effect of television on kids' lives. And I guess, do you want to hear the first verse here?
Oh,
absolutely. The first verse kind of sets the stage. It was in the morning, a sunny Saturday. I turned on the TV and on the couch I lay. I watched my favorite program and another two or three when my dad came in the room and said these words to me. Son, turn off the TV now, there's lots of things to do. Your bed's not made, the chores aren't done, the sun is shining too. I said, Dad, I'm busy, I gotta watch this show. I guess I should have listened, but how was I to know? 'Cause then he walked across the room and then he pulled the plug. He lifted up the television, he skipped across the rug. He opened up the window and then I said, Dad, no! He gave the thing a heave and I watched the TV go. Oh, Dad threw the TV out the window, the window. I think he's finally cracked. Dad threw the TV out the window. I got a feeling that it isn't coming back. So there's the first verse of that one.
So what?
He ends up, actually what happens is they discover they can live without it, and then one day his he hears some noise upstairs and goes upstairs and finds his father watching the baseball game, and so the last verse, of course, is I threw the TV out the window. So he gets his come. He gets back at his dad there.
Righteous justice. Righteous
right,
justice.
Right, for sure.
So there's a difference then, perhaps, between you know, sitting in front of a cassette machine with one of your, you know, cassettes and your stories and your songs, and sitting in front of the TV.
I think so, definitely. I, you know, not just because I want everybody to buy my cassettes.
No,
of course. I mean, there's nothing that takes the place of a kid hearing a story, whether it's read or told from his parents or from somebody else. But I really believe that listening to a story is a creative act, and that you're doing a lot of your own work, and that work just doesn't get done when you watch television. And when you hear that the national average of television viewing for kids is 7 hours a day, that's 7 hours that they could have been doing something else. And that's pretty terrifying to me. It really is.
Hmm. Will you perform You're in Trouble? A new song that you've written for us?
Yeah, I will. When he got home, he walked into the kitchen so hungry that his stomach hurt. There were cookies on the table with a sign that read, "Don't touch, these are for dessert." But he ate one, then he ate another. He meant to put the rest away. But it wasn't too long before the cookies were gone. He heard a little voice inside him say, "You're in trouble, you're in trouble, you're in trouble, like you've never been in trouble before." When they find
Bill Harley is a singer and storyteller. His records are out on his own label, Round River Records, which he runs from his home in Seekonk, Massachusetts. This is Fresh Air.